Welcome into Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. We're going to be taking your questions later in the show, or thoughts or comments or anything you want to send our way. Make sure you use that hashtag BucksLive. That's how I'll be able to find it then. In the meantime, we thought we'd talk a little bit about our division, use this kind of downtime across the league to just survey some things that directly affect the Bucks, but in a less direct way than just, hey, what's going on in the practice field right now? So looking at the division, if we kind of take stock of last year, I know it didn't quite shake out how some people thought. I mean, the Panthers, obviously, vast difference from years in past. Right. It just showed how your expectations for teams going into a year are not always the reality of it.
Well, yeah, that's true anywhere. But, yeah, Atlanta made the leap last year, which is what the Buccaneers were trying to do this year. And it was a bit of a surprise how big of a leap they made forward. But that was made possible somewhat by Carolina's fall.
Right.
You know? And there were a number of reasons for that. But, you know, they had some injury issues. And but still, from 15-1 to where they finished up is a pretty big fall. But if anybody thinks the Panthers aren't a contender this year, I would say think again.
Right.
And that's the problem with the Buccaneers division, and we'll get into some specifics on all the teams. But when was the last time going into season the Bucs could really count out any of the other teams in the league? I mean, I think top to bottom, it's the strongest division in the league and has been for some time. There's a couple others that could definitely make an argument.
That's true.
But how many – there's not another division in the league that boasts four quarterbacks like this one does. And since that's what it kind of all boils down to, that's the deciding factor for me.
And challenging for the defense, obviously, when you know that all these games are going to be facing guys
that
can –
there's no let up.
Any given day can just tear you up. And that's got to be –
well, we have the last two league MVPs as quarterbacks in our division, plus Drew Brees, who's amazingly, I guess, never been in – he's been a Super Bowl MVP, but I don't think he's been a league MVP.
Which is crazy to think
about. He's going to slide into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question. He's equally on par – he's easily on par with those other two. And in fact, he's had the best career of any of the four. So obviously we're hoping our guy is there in when it's all said and done. But as the guy who's only played 2 years, he's obviously the one that has to ascend to their level, and that would make the difference for the Buccaneers.
That's true. So let's go and look at the Falcons. Obviously everybody knows what they did last year. We always also hear about the letdown sometimes of when you make it to the Super Bowl.
It's happened a lot.
The year after that can be a challenge. Mm-hmm. So what is it about the Falcons that you think could make them poised to continue to have a great next year following, and what may have kind of been a bit of a letdown?
Well, I think they avoided any major problems this offseason. The one thing that I would worry about if I were a Falcons fan is the departure of Kyle Shanahan. So you have a brand new offensive coordinator. And, you know, I know that Shanahan took a lot of grief for how the Super Bowl ended up, but, you know, let's take the entirety of the season as a whole, and that offense was ridiculous. And the offense was ridiculous because it's got an amazing quarterback who's league MVP, and Julio Jones and Devontae Freeman and so on and so on and so on.
Right.
But it was well run. And it's not nothing when you change the play caller. Now, I think Steve Sarkisian is considered a pretty innovative guy. There's apparently already some new wrinkles in their offense, although they're being kind of tight-lipped about what that is for obvious reasons. But that's – what else otherwise do you see them losing? They didn't have a mass free agency exodus after their Super Bowl. They lost, I guess, their fullback, Patrick DeMarco, who's a very highly regarded fullback, but he really only played probably 15 to 20% of their offensive snaps, so it's not really that big of a deal.
Yeah, that's true. And when you hear that he is an innovative offensive coordinator, it's funny how that is a great thing a lot of times, but it might also mean that the adjustment could be even harder because it's not just some standard offensive scheme that they're putting in and can – have you more growing pains to it a little bit?
Yeah, well, we would hope so, right? My guess is they will try to keep a lot of the structure that they had last year because they still have all the same.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they have the same mostly the same coaches. I don't really know who followed Shanahan to the Rams, but I would imagine most of the staff is in place, including the head coach, and the players are all the same. And they obviously have plenty of tape of things they were doing that worked, and I can't see them getting too far away from that.
Right. Yeah, that's very true. So looking at the defensive side of things for them.
And that's improved. I mean, think about this. They did what they did last year with very little from Desmond Trufant, who's probably one of the five best cornerbacks in the league. He missed most of the season due to injury. They like him so much that coming off that season, they gave him this new gigantic contract. He's one of the best cornerbacks in the league. You slide him right back into that defense. And last year, their draft really paid off for them. They had Keanu Neal, the safety in the first round. He played great. They had the linebackers, Deion Jones and Devondre Campbell, and they played well also, especially Jones. Those guys are now going into their second year, and they were all getting better as the year went along. That defense has a very nice little young core. Vic Beasley, he was a sack leader last year, and he'd had a disappointing year or two the year before, but he's a former top 10 pick who exploded last year. And now you add, they clearly wanted to get a pass rusher for the other side, obviously opposite Beasley, because, you know, Vic Beasley had 15 or 16 sacks on his own, but their team sack total wasn't real high, and they didn't really have anybody else that had more than, I think, four. So they want another key pass rusher to pair with him, and they traded up in the draft to get, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but Takaris McKinley, the UCLA guy. They really wanted him or a guy like him. Now you add that in there, they lost Dwight Freeney, I guess. I don't think he's resigned with them yet, but they added Don Terry Poe from the Chiefs, more of an interior guy. But, you know, the Buccaneers, like the Buccaneers have tried to do, sometimes you make your interior stronger, and the offensive line has to pay more attention to it, and that helps your end guys. So right. Even if it's not necessarily a direct positional replacement for Dwight Freeney, who played well in the Super Bowl, they do kind of still have the numbers there. So I think it's a defense on the rise under a guy like Dan Quinn, who was so great defensively in Seattle. That's a bit of a worry. So I would be surprised if the Falcons fell off to the extent that the Panthers fell off last year.
That's true. And so looking at the matchups, obviously last year those were the two vastly different games when the Bucs played them. I mean, to go from winning on the road to a pretty tough loss at home, national television, that's a pretty different matchup, which you tend to think in one season playing the same team multiple times, it's not going to be that different. So looking at those two matchups and the gains and losses by the two teams, what you kind of see those matchups looking like?
Well, you can't discount what happened in that second game here at Raymond James Stadium. You can't just brush it off. But, and I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses, but you can look at the mitigating factors that went into that. That was during that five-day stretch of playing Oakland and Atlanta, who were two of the hottest teams in all of football, especially on offense at that time. And you played five quarters against Oakland on a late afternoon game on Sunday, and were back on the field against this high-powered offense. And it just, It kind of snowballed. It just really snowballed and became kind of an ugly game. And as you saw from that point on, the defense, after they had what was essentially a mini bye week after the Thursday game and got it together, nobody did that to the Bucs defense the rest of the year. So it wasn't necessarily a fluke. And obviously Atlanta's offense carried them to within, very close to winning the Super Bowl. So they were very good. But I don't think that was completely representative of how these two teams matched up. And you saw in the first game in the opener, and to be fair to the Falcons, it was before they really found their footing and started reeling off wins.
Right.
But the Buccaneers won that game in Atlanta, and it was a really good game for Jameis Winston, which you can see if we're talking about the Bucs closing the gap on the Falcons, one of the big ones would be Jameis Winston consistently playing the entire season closer to the level that Matt Ryan did last year. And that's the kind of leap the Buccaneers are wanting him to make, or hoping he makes.
Are any of those additions or losses by either team, you think, big enough to really impact the way the game looks? Instead of it just being about Jameis's improvement, the actual just change in dynamics.
Yes. If either of those games turns into a shootout, the fact that we have DeSean Jackson and O.J. Howard in this defense now would apparently make the Buccaneers more prepared, more set for a shootout. You know, we can hang with them, hopefully, if the game becomes that sort of game. And I think that's the biggest difference, bigger than anything necessarily that Atlanta added. You know, they added the defensive end, but as we saw with Noah Spence, he had a nice impact as a rookie, but not overwhelming, right? You'd kind of expect the same thing out of McKinley, I would think. And then otherwise, I'm not sure they added a whole lot that would make a big difference right now. And, of course, when you're drafting to a team that was in the Super Bowl, you don't really expect a lot of your rookies to play a lot. The one thing they lost was one of their guards who retired, and they did draft one, but we'll see how that comes out.
And do you think that they seem like you still the team you say this is who to beat in the division?
I think they're the team to beat in the division, yeah, absolutely.
All right, we still have two more segments. We're going to get to the other teams in our division next, and then the final segment we're going to get to your Twitter questions, thoughts, comments. It can be about the division or anything else going on with the Buccaneers or around the league. We love hearing all of that. Send that in, use that hashtag BucsLive, and we'll be back after just a quick break. Welcome into Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. We still have another segment after this one where we're going to get to your Twitter questions. You can keep sending those in. Use the hashtag BucksLive. And if you weren't with us first segment, we're going through the division and talking about the teams that the Bucs are going to be facing multiple times this year to see how those matchups might stack up. We already covered Atlanta, so if you missed that, it'll be on the website later. Now let's get to Carolina and New Orleans. Let's start with the Panthers. We went from talking about how you don't think the Falcons will have the drop-off that the Panthers had over the course of the last 2 years of such a dramatic
difference.
I don't
think that'll happen.
So looking at the Panthers' last 2 years, which result do you think they're going to be closer to this year?
Probably, well, I mean, you'd probably want to split it down the middle, but even that puts them probably around 10 wins.
Which is crazy.
11 wins. So it's hard to come back to 15-1. So to answer that question directly, probably closer to last year, but I do think they aren't necessarily going to struggle the way they did last year. Though there are some question marks, there really are. They've kind of remade their offense a little bit. They didn't bring back Mike Tolbert, the gigantic running back we saw at the Pro Bowl, who looked as wide as he is. He's a great athlete. I'm not making fun of him, but that guy is wide.
Big guy.
And they brought in, instead, they drafted the user first two picks on Christian McCaffrey, not his father, Ed McCaffrey, and Curtis Samuel of Ohio State, both guys that can play running back and receiver, and everybody's concerned that it's going to be hard to tell what they're doing with these two new versatile weapons, and it'll be hard to match up against them because you don't know where they're going to deploy them in their formation. And, you know, Cam Newton has gotten a lot of his stuff by running and by throwing downfield. I mean, he's very good at that, and he's had a lot of success with it. Not so much the precision sort of quick hits and let him gain yards after the catch. You know, a guy like Kelvin Benjamin, one of his main targets, is more of a guy. He hasn't been as successful as Mike Evans, and he's had some injury issues, but and like Mike Evans gets most of his yards at the catch so far. He wants more yak this year, but get the ball downfield to him, get a 17-yard gain all in the air. Mm-hmm. That's more of what you get out of Kelvin Benjamin. And his main target has been Greg Olsen, who does pick up yards after the catch, but still we're talking about a tight end here. Now you're talking about guys that you can get the ball to quickly and have them do a lot of it on their own, and that's a little different than what the Panthers have done for a long time. And that's a little scary. If they do that well, that's a little scary.
That's very true. Before
we move to defense, their offensive line, though, is still, you still wonder. And that's, you know, it's hard to be completely confident in offense if the offensive line isn't performing well, because you just can't get to a lot of stuff you want to get to if that first thing isn't in place. Michael Orr, not sure if he's going to play again, that concussion thing. And Mike Rimmer's left in free agency. And they drafted a tackle, Taylor Moton. I'm not sure how soon he's going to play, but they signed Matt Khalil from the Vikings, who's the brother of their Pro Bowl center, Ryan Khalil, which is neat that they're reunited. Yeah. But Matt Khalil has really been the Vikings fans' favorite whipping boy the last couple of years. I mean, considered not to have played all that well the last couple of years, and now you're bringing him in, giving him a huge contract, and he's protecting Cam Newton. And that's, I mean, he may play fantastically, and they obviously have a lot of confidence in him, but I would think that would be a question mark.
And then defensive side of things?
Well, I'm not sure there's been a whole lot of changes for them on defense. You know, they made Kawan Short their, they brought back Julius Peppers. That's the biggest thing. They franchised Kawan Short. They brought back Captain Munnerlyn too. Not one of the Bucs fans' favorite players because he kept injuring Clifton Smith, but he's a good solid depth guy and special teams guy for them in their secondary, which has a lot of very young players. James Bradbury, the cornerback they drafted, the first of three they drafted last year, played pretty decently and got better as the year went along. But, you know, they still have Luke Kuechly, who presumably will be back from the concussion problems he had at the end of last year. They still have Thomas Davis. And they still have Kawan Short and star Lutulele, who's their stars in the middle. Mm-hmm. If Julius Peppers is 75% of the wrecking ball that he was in his original stint as with the Panthers, that's a problem.
That is a problem. All right, so do you think where would you say that they fall in the division in terms of?
They're the biggest question mark as far as I'm concerned that could really go either way. You got to remember also Cam Newton, who's coming off a year that wasn't even as close to as good as his MVP year the year before. He also had shoulder surgery. He hasn't really had much practice time, if any, this offseason. Does that have much of an effect? I mean, the guy knows what he's doing.
Right.
But, you know, if I were a Panthers fan, I wouldn't be happy about it. They'll probably be fine, though.
Okay, and then moving on to the Saints, what do you think about them? So if the Falcons are the team to beat and the Panthers are the big question mark, Where do you think the
The Saints have been kind of treading water around 500 for a few years now, and it's because their defense hasn't been. I mean, they still have Drew Brees. They traded Brandon Cooks, and they didn't use that pick, which was late in the first round, on another offensive weapon. They used it on an offensive lineman who's probably going to help them down the road a few years, not necessarily right now. But, you know, with Drew Brees, they've got Michael Thomas, who really was a great rookie last year. Apparently he's their new star. And they added, interestingly, not really – well, they added Ted Ginn, who we know very well from the Panthers. And I don't know. I mean, the guy's got a spotty track record. He's extremely fast. Drew Brees can definitely take advantage of that. You know, he's had some problems with his hands. I don't think Ted Ginn is as good as Brandon Cooks. So I think that's a little bit of a downgrade. But what's interesting is they – actually, the thing that changed the most is their running backs. Because they signed Adrian Peterson, and then they drafted and traded a pick next year to draft Alvin Kamara, who's going to be probably a great third down back for them. So and Drew Brees makes great work of those guys. So they've got Mark Ingram and those two guys that have loaded in the backfield. Who knows what that offense is going to look like? You would think with those three guys they'd be running back heavy, but they've got Drew Brees. You know they're going to throw.
Right, that's really
so true. Their offense should be fine. For them, it's all about the defense. Did they improve the defense? They try every year. Right. You can't blame them. You know, they got a blow right now in that Nick Fairley, unfortunately and terribly, apparently is dealing with some kind of heart issue. Hopefully just for that man, that works out well. Right, but if they lose him, that he's a pretty good rotational player for them in the middle. They did draft a few players. They got lucky, kind of like we did, in that the best cornerback fell to them in the first round, Marshon Lattimore. Or considered the best cornerback, so they address that position, and they get Delvin Bro back from injury. So their corner should look a lot better than they did before. You just still wonder about that front seven. They drafted a defensive end. They drafted a linebacker, but they weren't high picks. And the linebacker from Florida, Alex Anzalone, I guess. Did I pronounce that right? Gator fan over there? He doesn't know.
He said eh.
He thinks he's a Gator fan. He's been injured for most of his college career, so you really don't know what you're going to get. And they drafted a defensive lineman a little later. I think his name's Trey Williamson. So, you know, they would like those guys to step up, but we'll see. And they signed in free agency away from the Packers a middle linebacker named A.J. Klein, who sort of – he didn't get a whole lot of chance to play because of Kuechly and Thomas Davis. But we'll see. I mean – it's asking a lot. That defense has had a long way to go. But if their defense moves in the top half of the league, then now all of a sudden they're a scary team.
Yeah,
so you can see how scary this division is.
This is not as exciting as we'd hoped of feeling optimistic.
Well,
about
we're a lot better, we believe,
but yeah, we're
right?
a lot better as well. So we can talk about some of those questions you have about where the Bucks might fall into that division. Coming up after this, to send us all of your questions, thoughts, comments on Twitter, use that hashtag BucksLive. That's what we'll do right after this break.
Looks to his right, gets the pass. It's picked off. Intercepted at the 30, to the 25, to the 20. Quan Alexander will take it to the house. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. The defense strikes first. The snap. Winston looks sideline by Mayrod toward the corner of the end zone. Caught ball. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mike Evans takes it over the shoulder. From the 49, play action fake on the inside. Gerald McCoy's going to wrap up Ryan and sack him at the 45. That is super quick, Gerald McCoy. There's the snap, and Winston dropping to the hook up pressure. Winston avoids it, rolls out to the right side, still looking. Still, he's back in his own end zone. Look out, Davis got a block. Winston running, got a block again. He's still alive, throws the ball downfield. He's got Mike Evans, and he goes to back to catch at the 38-yard line. What a play by Jameis Winston. There's the snap, Breeze, three steps back. You're low to the long ball. That is knocked away, and it's picked off at the 29. Picked off by the Buccaneers. Vernon Hargreaves has his first career interception.
Welcome back into Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. Time for our final segment, which is getting to all of your Twitter thoughts, comments, questions, all of that. First one comes from TB Bucks, and he says, will there be an open practice at Raymond James Stadium this year for the fans?
TB Bucks is his name?
That's his Twitter name.
Oh, and then it's one of those where you update
the
record as it goes
along. And then he has the 0-0 right now. So, yeah, he changes it,
it looks like,
as it goes along.
What was the question?
Will there be an open practice at Raymond James Stadium?
Doesn't look like it, no. We put out the full schedule yesterday, and they're all here at $1. But it's nice here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there are a lot of open practices for fans this year, and they're early in the morning, which is
nice
for everybody.
Yeah, and it's a good experience here. I think you'd have just as much fun coming here for a practice as you would at Ray J.
Yeah, and closer to the action, I'm sure.
Yeah, you're really close.
You're right there.
And you
there.
Get autographs afterwards.
Yeah, that's
generally.
True. The guys do a really great job of staying after even in that insane heat
and
after practicing.
And there's people passing out Freezy Pops.
Oh, Freezy Pops. You always got to get a Freezy Pop. Yeah. I've learned to only do the red ones if I still have
to go
on camera.
Don't the red ones turn your mouth red?
Not as bad as maybe
purple.
Like a blue one would. I've discovered this the hard way.
You could go yellow, but unfortunately that could be banana, and that's disgusting.
That doesn't sound very good. All right, Ryan's question, will the Bucks wear their old creamsicle uniforms anytime this year?
It won't be this year, I know that, because we would have had to have already announced that at this point. That has to be, I think I mentioned this before, and that fan probably knows this, but that's actually decided months and months before, and like in the off season, you have to get that approved. So
it is amazing how much of a process that is that I think you wouldn't realize. I think it's just people think you can just kind of wake up one Sunday morning and be like, you know, I feel like wearing the creamsicle one.
Yeah, there's a huge, you can't even change from like one color jersey to the other.
Yeah,
that's all decided and put in ink in the off season.
I wonder if that's because we don't release it until a lot of times that week that people don't realize that's not us making the decision. That's just us telling everybody what it is, that it's already been decided.
Presumably you could decide as the season went on with us, with the way we can change socks, you know, can wear red or pewter or orange, and that kind of changed the look of it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you can't, and because the other teams all have to plan accordingly.
Yeah,
which
that's true.
You kind of wish you could, because, you know, we would like to wear – we wear white at home early more than most teams. Most teams like to wear their colors just because it's so hot. Mm-hmm. So you want to put your opponent in the hotter jersey. And then sometimes we're wearing our colored jerseys for the first time, you know, maybe in mid-November or something, and it's like blazingly hot that day. So it'd be nice to be able to choose at the time.
That's very true. All right, our next question comes from Frank. Who has been the biggest surprise during practice so far?
I think it's been surprising how every single day Chris Godwin's getting talked about. I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily surprising because we didn't really know what to expect from him, but he's been fantastic. I think... Again, it's not necessarily surprising, but it's pretty impressive how day by day, Vernon Hargraves was making plays.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
It's hard.
And against guys like Deshaun Jackson. That's no small feat right there.
That's true. Otherwise, it's a little bit hard to say just because of the type of practice that they're doing. You can't really.
The linemen aren't going to be. It's surprising how little you can tell about the linemen at this point.
Robert Ayers had an interception the other day. That was kind of surprising. But as Coach Cutter explained, that was mainly because they weren't really rushing like they normally did.
Right.
They just standing up, and so he
was
right there.
That's very true. And speaking of linemen, somebody asked, does Spence look different in his second year, and where would he fit on the D this year, you think?
Well, he looks different in that he's not practicing.
Right.
So, yes. But he hasn't been able to practice yet. He's still overcoming, you know, the repairs on his shoulder, but he's expected to be ready for the start of training camp. So we'll find out then. All we can really base it on is how jacked up his teammates and coaches seem to be about him. Everybody seems to think he's going to have just a real big breakout year. So we'll hope that's true.
Yeah, you can tell even the idea that he might be in better shape even though he hasn't been practicing, that coaches are all about, you know, his different physique he's got, and coach even thinking he's taller. I mean,
taller, yeah. He's
that
still growing.
Cracked me up.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty
cool. You know, and he also has where he fits in, right?
Yes.
I would think that the obvious role for him would be as a designated pass rusher, which is what he was supposed to be last year. With all the injuries we had, he was actually thrust into playing more often on all downs and proved to be better at it than you'd expect. So I would say a situational pass rusher plus, in that his biggest impact may be in that role, but they'll probably find more snaps for him because they want him to continue to develop and eventually be a starting guy on one of those sides. So I would, you know, a third down pass rushing specialist with extra as the Buccaneers continue to develop him.
Okay. Mike says he thinks this is our breakout year, going deep into the playoffs, if not a Super Bowl. So
wow.
He is
all right,
all
Mike.
Sorts of fired up. He says, who do you think will be our MVPs this season?
Well, if you're right, Mike, about us going to the Super Bowl, the answer almost has to be Jameis Winston on offense. I don't see how it could be anything else, because we're not making it to the Super Bowl unless Jameis, who's been very good, so we're not saying anything negatively, but everybody's expecting him to continue taking steps forward. And again, like we were talking about in the last two segments, to compete in this division that has Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, and Drew Brees, the Buccaneers need a quarterback that's performing at that high of a level throughout the season, and throwing lots of touchdown passes and not turning the ball over a lot. He'd have to be the MVP. On defense, there's a lot of possibilities. The obvious one you think of first is Gerald McCoy, but if this defense takes another step forward, it could be a guy like Lavonte David. I mean, I'm not comparing this defense to the Super Bowl defense in 02, which was one of the best defenses of all time. That defense was absolutely loaded with stars like Simeon Rice and Warren Sapp and Rondé Barber and John Lynch. But the MVP of the entire league that year was Derrick Brooks, mm-hmm. who was playing the same position that Lavonte is playing now. It's not the exact same defense, but the point is, if everything is clicking, Lavonte is going to be in a position to make a lot of splash plays, interceptions, sacks, and so on. And if it's a full team effort and the defense is doing great, that's the guy that may stand out.
Okay. Our last one, Tim says, how has Bobo Wilson looked, and do you think he'll get a roster spot?
Well, this shouldn't be interpreted as anything negative to Bobo Wilson, but it's at this time of year, it would be a little aggressive to predict any of the undrafted free agents to make the team.
Right.
I would think his best opportunity would be is if he proved to be our best return man. You know, he has return skills. That's a position the Buccaneers are looking to get better at, especially on kickoff return. If he could win a spot based on his return abilities and maybe some other things he does on special teams, he could make the Buccaneers carry maybe a sixth receiver when they were only going to carry five, something like that. How has he looked? It's a little early to tell. I don't think I heard any of the coaches say anything particularly of him standing out or having bad days. So I think it's a little early to answer that question.
Yeah, that's true. All right, well, that's going to do it for us on this edition of Buccaneers Insider Live presented by Miller Lite. Thank you all for being with us. If you missed any of the show, we're going to put it up later on Buccaneers.com as we talked about all things NFC South. And, of course, we want you to have a great rest of your week and weekend. Keep sending those questions to us throughout the week. Use that hashtag BucksLive, and we'll be back next time.